Is my tape recorder? I don't think so.
Is it going right now?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Give it a try.
Okay.
Let's just start it again. It's just a specific point in the tape that's doing that.
Well, okay, so I think I've had a total of, I know I've had a total of 7 experiences, if you count the 2 college things,
mm-hmm.
which to me are different than the others where I lived with people, but 7 experiences. Then the, in this time that I was living alone, 3 of us decided we would live together. None of us were going with anybody or anything.
Yes, it's all right again for a while.
Okay.
Until something happens.
Okay, so the 3 of us decided we would live together. Well, one of them was a tax, worked for that big tax outfit that advertises open to you.
Oh.
But anyway, she did taxes.
I don't think it was Hertz Medicare.
Anyway.
I can see that guy on television saying, this is so-and-so, mm-hmm. and we do your, this is
them. Well, she worked for them.
13th reason why.
The other one was an instructor at Buff State. And, Carol did it.
Okay.
The,
right. The
one instructor was going with one of her students.
Mm-hmm.
And also had a lover in New York City.
So H&R Block.
Yeah, H&R Block.
Okay.
So, New Year's, she was in New York City for the holiday. And she left the girl here, sent her to a New Year's Eve party with us, and sent me as the chaperone. That didn't work out too well. I should have, my theory is always never bust up a relationship. The girl was younger, but 10 years younger than I was. And she decided to prefer me rather than when she was going with that, and it's very hard. She was living together.
Okay. This is a different angle we'll start there.
I would say that was the shortest relationship I had was with the young girl,
mm-hmm.
which was probably 1.5 years, 2 years we went together.
But
it still took 18 months to recoup from it.
Yeah.
After that one, I went to see a shrink, a psychologist,
for
one
what?
Session. And when I got in there, I told him, I don't want to talk about my family. I don't want to talk about... I said, I am homosexual, and I can't get this girl out of my mind, and yet I'm here to have her out of my mind. I said, don't try to make me anything else. Help me get over this. So we talked for an hour, and at the end of the hour, he says, we've talked for an hour, and you have not thought about her. And I said, you're right. Thanks. And that was the end. That was the only trip I ever made. But it really was getting me down as far as, you know, just how many times mm-hmm. can you think you've found true love and you haven't.
That was the only time you ever saw
a
shrink of any sort.
Right.
mm-hmm. And you were well treated.
Oh, yeah. My doctor, as I said, I think the medical people, I might have a wrong idea about them, but they accept everything and anything. So my own
mm-hmm.
family doctor knows that I'm a homosexual. I felt that any man that's going to deal with my body ought to know what my mind is like. And so when I told him I want to see somebody, you know, I'm practically at a nervous wreck over this one, he said, do you want a male or female? And I said, male, and I don't know why. And he said, do you mind if it's black or white? And I said, it doesn't matter to me. So he sent me to a black male psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
Downtown.
Yeah.
Off that 33rd Central, Humboldt Parkway area, which
mm-hmm.
I traipsed right down there thinking nothing about being there. in one session, and that took care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know what we talked about, but the point was I went in and told him what I wanted to talk about, what I wanted accomplished, and after an hour he said, "We've accomplished it."
Go home.
Go home. So we went home. So then again, I was recuperating and minding my own business. I was always minding my own business. I always felt I had my blinders on. I never went out looking for an affair
mm-hmm.
at that time. A sense of change. And then I said, after 18 months, I went over to watch some friends play basketball and met somebody who had no attachments or anything. And we just started seeing each other. And then we moved in. And we lived together 7 years. Now, all these other people left me. After 7 years, I chose to break up. We haven't separated from each other. We live in the same house.
Oh, I see.
But I was the one who felt I had to get out. Well, I fell in love with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And not to the point where I'm going to move in with her.
Yeah.
And of course, I picked poor timing, and I'm in love with her, she's in love with me, plus she's in love with somebody else. And this is what made me sit and think the last year or two. Except for this one I've lived with for 7 years, I've been in a pattern with all the others, started by the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with somebody else, but I want you sexually. So she would see the one person Monday through Friday, call me on Wednesday night and say, "Come down for the weekend," and I would go. For 6 months to a year, I traveled 3 hours every weekend one way to have sex and have a good time with this person that I really cared for. And I finally had to leave the state because I just couldn't be part of a triangle.
Mm-hmm. How'd that make you feel?
When I was there, great. When I was back at school, lousy. Wondering, what the hell am I doing this for? Then when I got to Florida, the same thing occurred. After the second affair, the girl who did go straight for a while, and she then wanted to, a little freshman chased her, and she started going with her. But she was student teaching in the town I was working in. So Monday through Friday, I was over at her house every night, and none of my friends knew it. And on the weekends, her girlfriend would be in for the weekend. So that there was another threesome.
Uh-huh. Now, was this occurring at the time you were also in a relationship with someone?
No.
You were between relationships during
right.
this period.
Well, uh-huh. I wouldn't consider it between. I had never gotten out of it with Lee.
Uh-huh.
I mean, to me, she was still the only one for me.
I see.
When she called and said, "Come down," I'd go. That's
yeah.
why I went.
Yeah.
I'm sure of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with Joel, with the other one. I would say, "I am never coming over here again," and the phone would ring and I would go. With the third girl didn't do me that way. That was one who had the religion problem. When we broke up, we didn't see each other again
mm-hmm.
for 15 years. Then the fourth girl was the same thing. After we split up and she was going with the other girl, she would stop by my house 2 or 3 times a week. And in the sack she'd get it. Which, by this time I felt, okay, she's going with her, not me. You know, she's not cheating on me.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the attitude I was beginning to develop. But again, as I say, now I can see. I've been in the same pattern all the way through. Every relationship, except the one where I lived with her for 7 years, and that's my fault, whatever problem we had. And the situation I'm in right now is the very same thing.
How is it breaking up with a lover and still maintaining the same household? Did she see other people too?
For a while she didn't. She's not seeing any gay people right now because she doesn't know how to meet them. She doesn't want to go to the bars.
Mm.
And but she is going out now with people she works with, and not as much as she should, but it's hard. It would be harder for her than me because I'm the one that's out away from the house. Doing my own thing. I plan to leave in 2 years, so I don't want a solid house until then. we've talked about selling the house, but it is a type of security for both of us. It's harder on me than her, or harder on her than it is me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's getting easier for her. And even that isn't easy, I don't think. I would not be able to live there if it was reversed. I would have moved out.
She still would prefer that the relationship you had.
Yes.
Exist. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's real hard. It's pretty painful. But both of you must derive something out of being there.
Yeah, I think we're good friends still. We discuss now and then all the hassles I'm getting with the current affair,
mm-hmm.
which is, again, I am the one who provides the sex, and the other person is the one that she goes out in public with. Weird, huh? I knew you wouldn't understand it, Madeline. Nobody understands it, and neither do I, except in my thinking.
Yeah.
From my very first experience, that's what I've done.
You've been the other woman.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Now, I didn't start out as the other one, but I end up as the other one.
Uh-huh.
It could be damn destructive to your ego. Now, I went back for the first time I saw the girl who brought me out this summer,
yeah. And
talked about all this. And she said, well, it sounds to me like you just don't want a steady relationship. And I said, now, wait a minute. Everybody is the one who leaves me. All they want is the sex from me. I said, I must be great sexually. I said, but I don't understand why it is that everybody else is the one you can present to mama or something. We discussed it. Well, I said, besides, you're the one who set the pattern. I said, you know, you're the one that called every Wednesday, saying come down every mm-hmm. Saturday.
What do you think you really do want?
Well, I thought I wanted a monogamous relationship, like the straight world or somebody. That's what I thought. And then 2 years ago, I thought, whoever made up the word monogamy? Whoever made it up? Mm-hmm. And why? I don't know if I'm running away from responsibility. I'm not away from my responsibilities. I still pay all my shares of the debts. I still work. I still do whatever society demands. Mm-hmm. Except for my cousins and a few friends, I haven't announced that I'm gay. I'd like to say to my job, people that I work for, I am a homosexual. But since the Anita Bryant in Wisconsin and Michigan and everything else, I decided I wouldn't be so brazen.
Yeah.
With only 2 years to go before retirement.
Uh-huh.
Early retirement.
Yeah.
I always thought I knew what I wanted, who I wanted, but something's missing that they don't want it after a while. I don't know if I'm too possessive, too set. I'm a Taurus, so those are two of their bad traits, but...
Well, do you think that the reason women left you with your fault?
I don't know. Sometimes I think so, and other times I know it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
The first girl said to me, when the other woman came to the picture, the two of you complement each other. She said, neither one take the other's place. Each one has their own place. I didn't understand it then. Now, in this affair that I'm having right now, she has said the same thing. The two of you complement each other. I can't do without either of you. This time, I understand what the first one meant. Maybe 20 years from now, I'll understand what this one means.
Mm-hmm.
I don't regret any of this. I'm not... Then the girl I lived with for 7 years said that I'm incapable of loving anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that, but I must be incapable of loving them the way they want. You know, either nonverbal. I've never been accused of not being affectionate, and not just sexual, just affectionate.
Yeah.
I always thought I did my share of all the work around the place. I always financially done my share, if not more. Emotionally, maybe it's still, you know, when I said earlier in the tape that when the first girl wanted to make it a mutual exchange sexually, and I didn't want to be in the position of being at somebody's disposal or their command that much, maybe that's still inside of me. Maybe I never let loose enough.
Mm-hmm. And then again, maybe it isn't your fault.
Right. Yeah, and then again, maybe that's just the way they are.
Mm-hmm. How do you see other people's relationships? Is this fairly common occurrence?
What I'm in right now? No.
Yeah.
I don't run onto too many people. Well, that's not so. It seems to me that more and more I hear of people who are in triangles or quads, or more than that.
Hmm.
I think all gay people strive every time they go into a relationship. They think it's going to be permanent. It's going to be a lasting thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think some people work harder at it than others. And it doesn't matter whether it's straight or gay life. You have to work. Maintaining the relationship. If somebody falls down on their...
Yeah. Do you think that it's good for gay women to have monogamous long-term relationships?
That would be the same in straight life. There are some people who marry and are totally happy.
Mm-hmm.
Not totally, but as happy as anybody can be. For the whole 40, 50 years that they're married.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be the same in gay life. A couple I know just celebrated their 25th anniversary last weekend. And they had hard times. You know, their first apartment, they had orange crates for furniture and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they came from through that to owning two homes. You can't say that gay... I wouldn't say that the gay community... Women strive for it any more or less than straight, and I don't think they make it any more or any less than the straight people. Now, some people could never have a lasting relationship. That's why they have 4 or 5 husbands. And that's why they have 4, 5, 10 lovers. I think some of the straight relationships that stay together are only because it's legal.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want the hassle of breaking up, whereas gay life, two people split and they just split. They divide whatever furniture there is and
mm-hmm.
off they go. If they had some kind of marriage contract or something, maybe they would think more about breaking up, but I would hope not. I think you should be free to go when it's over, period.
Mm-hmm.
If nothing is left, it's ridiculous to stay together. It's painful for one or both of them, but it could be just as painful staying together. And the other thing that's always disturbed me is sex dies down. Well, if that's true, if that's what a long, steady relationship is a year of sex 5 days a week and then 10 years of maybe sex once a year, then I don't want a steady relationship.
Mm-hmm.
What do I want? I know what I don't want.
Right.
I don't want to settle down into a married life like straight people have and no benefits, like straight people have too. They all think that the honeymoon has to end. I don't believe that. And if that's true, then I might as well stay alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd as soon be alone and have no sexual satisfaction as to live with somebody and not have it.
Mm-hmm. Is that what has happened to your relationships, that the sex has died down after, whatever, a year?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Not with me. And the thing I haven't figured out is, why was it so important to him to begin with,
mm-hmm.
and it isn't later?
And
you know, you could think that I could blame myself for it if after the breakup, they still weren't calling and wanting the sex. See, that blows your mind. After we split, they want to come back to having sex.
That's now,
that's not, you've got to say from your stories, that is not the pattern, is it?
Are more people going with some people. Well, I'm not sure about the calling back and, you know, the calling up and wanting to come back for sex, but the dying down after a certain length of time seems to be very common. Have your friends ever discussed that, and is that the way it is in their relationships too?
Oh, they're the ones that always said, I always argued with my friends first. You know, pretty soon the honeymoon will be over and you'll have to settle down, and if that's true, I don't want it anymore. I'd just soon be in the situation I'm in right now.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday night trick and maybe now and then a Saturday night or something.
Mm-hmm.
At least then when you get together, you know why you're getting together.
Yeah.
And you're not kidding each other.
Do you think with most lesbian relationships, the sexual relationship part of it only lasts for whatever the beginning is? Do you have any theories about why that happened?
Any fears of that?
Theories.
Because everyone's told that's what's going to happen.
So they live out the myth.
Yeah. Any time that a job gets so damn important that you're too tired when you get home, when what you need from a job that wears you out is relaxation, and if all you can do is sit in front of a TV or build an extra room, you know, all kinds of busy crap, instead of being loving and affectionate, when those replace that, then that's not a good relationship, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
I cannot see it be replaced by hammer and nails or a TV set.
And that's what you see going on around you in relationships.
I mean, it's great to be able to have the mental dexterity to build extra rooms and build shelves and cabinets and put your car together and all that. That's good, but not at the expense of the person you live with. I mean, tinkering with a car should be shared with tinkering with each other.
That's a wonderful observation. It really is. And I've heard that from a lot of people, but that's really probably the clearest I've heard that expressed. And it's so common.
It is, and that's not right. That's slotting yourself into the straight world, where the husband goes bowling once or twice a week. Mm-hmm. He watches his football all Sunday afternoon, Saturday, Monday night, all that damn stuff. And the woman does her job. Mm-hmm. And when it suits him, when all the games are over, and when all the kids are in bed, he might decide to have sex that night. And if he doesn't, you're not going to get it. Now, gay people slot themselves into the same type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that getting back to role-playing in relationships, do you think that's possibly a factor at all in the frequency of sexual contact?
What do you mean?
Okay, first of all, I guess we should go back a little. In the group of people with which you travel, do you see a lot of relationships in which you can fairly clearly pick out the butch and the femme relationship?
I used to be able to more than now. And even, well, like in this couple where they're celebrating their 25 years, I would say yes, right down to their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
One works at the factory, and the other one is a secretary for the administrative office in a school.
Yeah.
And at home, although they both cook, I think the jobs always seemed to be divided, just like the husband and wife in a straight line. In my own situation of 7 years, it was just based on who could do what. Like, I might be the one that does the outside work, but that's because the other girl has a leg problem and is, you know, on disability retirement.
Yeah.
I'll do some of the cooking. She does most of the cooking because she's on, not working. It used to be whoever got home first would do the meals.
Yeah.
And the other one does the dishes. One takes out the garbage, the other one brings the garbage cans back in. One does the laundry, the other one does the ironing, and next week it's reversed. That's the way ours was. And
so you think that the group you travel with is like pretty evenly divided?
Yeah.
Some role play and some don't. Okay, now getting back to the
situation.
The
role playing takes part more, in my observations, with the less educated people. The college people, the professional people do less role playing than the factory workers and secretaries.
Yeah, that's a real interesting thing. Okay. Now, getting back to the sexual contact situation, do you think that there's a difference in this sex falling off after a certain length of time in a role-playing relationship and a non-role-playing relationship? Or do you think it happens in both with the same frequency?
I don't know about that.
Have you ever talked to anybody about it?
Well, yeah, but you never know if they're kidding or if they're serious.
Yeah.
You know, like these two that celebrate their 25th year. Now, you know, I mean, if you could hear their stories, oh, my God, you know, where one will say, I came home roaring from work ready to go, and she's eating an apple. Said, have you ever had anybody eat an apple over your shoulder while you're making mad love? I mean, so you never know if they're serious or if that's what they did. And if that's so, then they had sexual relationships for 25 years. That was the factory worker and the secretary. Meanwhile, the professionals are sleeping in separate rooms and fighting constantly. They jump in the sack more often, they wouldn't fight as often. And that's I really believe that you can just go so damn long with people living in separate rooms.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, you can sleep better alone. There's no doubt about it. You get more restful sleep alone.
Mm-hmm.
But if that you could put twin beds together.
Okay, we've come upon another subject now, and that is discussions with friends about intimacies or discussions with friends about serious things.
I discuss serious things with them. I don't discuss, you know, like I'm saying to you what I never said to any of my friends. I have fought with them on, I don't believe sex should end.
Mm-hmm.
I fought with them on that. As far as the intimacies, I never discuss it. I don't think it's anybody's business. Except the girl that gave you my name for this interview. She tells me anything and everything that occurs, which in turn then makes me now and then talk with her about some of the physical things. But except for her and her openness, it's something that I don't think people should talk about unless they want help with it.
Yeah, that's
and
what
then,
I mean. I mean, you know, you're not going to.
And then the help, it's not help if you're not talking with the person that you're having the problem with. In other words, if I'm having a sexual problem with the person I'm going with, I should be talking with her, not 10 other people. It is none of their business. They don't, what is their advice worth? Nothing, because they only get my side. They're not getting two sides to it. They certainly aren't in there where it's going on.
Yeah. Well, not even just sexual problems, but all the other intimacies of a relationship.
Right now I'm having a problem with the professor from UB because in these 2 years I have not talked with her about my breakup. The other girl has gone through them and they've helped her a lot. I really don't have a problem with her. She's a little hurt or upset that I haven't come, but I have nothing to talk to anybody about. I don't even when I had the breakups before, I did not talk with people about it. Mm-hmm. I didn't want them siding with me. I didn't want them siding against me. No. I didn't want a bunch of cliches. Time will heal all wounds. I think wounds will heal all time. You know, and stuff like that. One of the reasons for my problems is I keep to myself too much. I think I've discovered that much, that maybe my breakups were because I am within myself too much. But when it comes to recuperating, I need to be with myself, not mm-hmm. other people. So I don't discuss anything with them.
You don't want community support for that kind of thing?
No.
Do you find that your other friends discuss those things with each other?
Yes, they do. Uh-huh. And I find that what chance anybody had of getting back together when it's discussed with the crew cinches it forever that they'll never get back together.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't keep it confidential. They go back and forth to each other. And what could have been worked out is totally destroyed. And I really have not seen it ever work any differently. Mm-hmm. They mean well, but they don't help. Mm-hmm. They'd like to, but they can't. They seem to screw it up. And I'm not just talking about my situations. I mean all of them. Whenever somebody, you know, the word flies around, and I would go talk with you, and 10 days later, everybody in that crew would know about it. But my discussion had been with you, and that's how I wanted it. Right. They would get back to the 10 and then back to the one I was with. It doesn't work out. It doesn't mean they don't want to do it or that they don't try to help you. But you'd be better off going to total strangers in the gay community to rap sessions than to your friends. Mm-hmm. Because they get too involved in it. They're involved in the fact that they're your friends. It's the same in straight life. You've got four married couples running around together. One couple splits. They take sides. They don't invite one. They invite the other. So you're better off not going to them,
mm-hmm.
I think.
I'd like to talk a little more, have you talk a little more about the way that the groups of people that you've been involved with have gotten together, the kind of social gathering places, and well, certainly the bars have not been the only place that people have met each other.
Well, usually it's just at private parties.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all I know of. I mean, I did go up to Toronto, I guess, to the gay church and meet somebody.
Uh-huh.
I never have. I'd like to go up to, but I really haven't investigated to find out where it is and stuff.
Yeah. Well, then there's clubs in Toronto, and there's certainly there's the Blue Jay Club.
But it's
a lot of people.
Yeah. But it's just like straight life. How do people meet other people?
Mm-hmm.
Either through friends or at private parties,
mm-hmm.
or else the bars.
Mm.
And your jobs, if you are daring enough, if you see somebody that you think is gay, if you have the courage to say, I'm gay, are you? Then you've met somebody new,
mm-hmm.
which I do have the courage to say.
We've talked, or I've asked you, about the circle of friends that you have. Could you estimate, like, the approximate number of people you would count in like, the intimate circle of friends that you travel with?
Well, when I pitched my that I travel with?
Yeah, that, I mean, of course, some people have open house parties and 150 people show up, but that's not what I mean. But your circle of friends.
Well, when I pitched my 40th birthday party, I set up a list of my best friends, or the friends that I travel with, that I do things with, that should not be excluded from this party.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 80 people. Since the breakup with Peggy, I can count those 80 people on one hand. Not that they have not, they still want to see me personally, but either with her or alone. In other words, I can't bring the new friend into this group.
This group of 80? That's a really big group.
Mm-hmm. Some of them. But the majority of them, let's say...
Is there like a core
30,
group? Of,
yeah, okay. 30 of them.
Yeah.
We'll pitch a party at which 20 to 25 show up, 26, mm-hmm. because they never have one come.
Oh, this is always in couples.
Oh, yes. I discovered that
uh-huh.
recently. And their reasoning is this. You don't just bring somebody new into this party. After all, they don't know her. And I said, how are you going to get to know her if I don't bring her? Mm-hmm. Well, you could come over to the house and bring her for dinner. And I said, oh, so you could pick her apart, the two of you. I said, my idea was to take her to a party where nobody could spend too much time with her, and you wouldn't find out everything wrong in one night. I said, but rather I should bring her where you can dissect her in the evening alone, you know. Since that, where they told me I would either have to come with somebody they knew, now I just told you it's all couples. So my answer to that was, if that's true, then I have to break up one of these couples in order to come to your party with somebody that you know. Because I can't bring anybody new. Right? Isn't that sound reasoning?
It's logical.
And, you know, they're from 70. This one that comes from out of town. 70 to, I suppose I'm the youngest. Or maybe the girl I was with is the youngest, 37.
Uh-huh.
So maybe they're from the crew where you don't, you know, you're still hesitant about who you meet. Where you're going to see them again after that party. You know, are you going to be embarrassed? I don't know what the hell they think. But I didn't agree with it, so until they say to me, yes, you can bring your new lover to the party, I don't go to their parties. And I feel that it is their loss.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will never expand their group. Now, maybe they feel at their age they don't want to expand their group. They almost died at my birthday party when I had 20-year-olds.
Uh-huh.
To 50 at that party, where we had music from the 50s to the 70s on the record player, where we had some of them sneaking off smoking pot. At least they sneaked out. They didn't just do it in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they, well, with that party, maybe they would be wondering who I would bring to their house. I think, but I still think. I never turned any of them away. They've all played musical partners. These 30 have all been with each other, I'm sure. Except for two, they've all been with each other.
Uh-huh.
In these years, they've all been each other's girlfriends and stuff. I never, when they were in their breakups, never said one couldn't come to my house. Or that one couldn't bring whomever they wanted. And I feel that the same treatment should have been given to me, and it wasn't. So that's why I say it's their loss, because I'm not going to put up with it. They're not going to tell me who I can go with, who meets their criteria. You know, it's my choice. Either they accept me as a person and my choice of people, or I don't come. Now, because of that, I would say my number of people is limited right now.
Since
it's been brought down.
Yeah,
it's shrunk a little bit. But that's okay. I'm having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't miss them too much, and I'm sure by this time they don't miss me. The younger ones that were at the party will accept me with this new person, will go out with me.
Is that like, okay, there's this, let's say, older group. Is there also a younger group, or is that more loosely knit than the older one?
Oh, some of the younger ones didn't even know each other.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
It's just people I knew through officiating,
yeah,
or coaching or teaching.
Uh-huh.
And then the older crowd that I knew from Buffalo from the 60s.
Yeah.
And the factory workers were there, plus the professors.
Is that older group kind of a mixed class group, or working class?
No, there's two groups as far as they're socializing. Now, 15 years ago, they all went to the same parties. But as their jobs improved and their degrees increased.
Oh, they separated along, like, class lines.
Yeah. Even at that party that night, the factory group stayed at this, at my bar, and the others were all sitting around, and they never got together, which was poor.
And yet they had known each other.
Yes.
Huh.
Well, maybe they knew each other so well they didn't want to associate. Maybe they'd all had assholes with each other. And I had a terrific time at my party. I don't know about the people I invited. They seemed... They all said they want, you know, for me to be sure and pitch a 50th, so they must have enjoyed it. Although some of them didn't look like they were.
Do you find that the younger lesbians or lesbians that are more recently out are real different?
When they're very young, they are. When they're 18, 19, 20, 21, they'll wear their college jackets into the bars. They announce who they are. They don't care. Give them 2 or 3 years in their job, and they're back to conservative like the rest of us. And our friend, our mutual friend, is one of them, anti-establishment, and now she's becoming very conservative. And I don't blame her.
Sure, there are reasons for that.
Yes. You want to keep your job as much as you'd like to announce it. We are lesbians and we have rights. We don't have them. And you're going to lose your job if you smart off about it. Yeah. But when you're 18, 19, you can't tell anybody anything, no matter if they're gay or straight. They know it all. I admire their brazenness and their openness to the world.
Mm-hmm. But as they get more of an investment in the system.
Mm-hmm. It would be nice if we all could just refuse to pay taxes unless we get equal treatment and, you know, do our own rebellion.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think there are quite enough of us yet to do it.
You don't think there are enough of us, or you don't think maybe... Seems to me there's a real lot of us.
That would stand up and do it.
Yeah. We're not very well organized, maybe.
Even if you were organized, some will not do it. It's the same in teaching. Teachers will know that they got to go on strike, and they know, all teachers know that you're going on strike for your benefits. You still will have teachers that won't do it. And we're organized. We're in our union. We have our membership. We see each other every day. You can't get much more organized than that.
Yeah.
But you can't get total backing.
For a strike.
So you certainly aren't going to get total backing from people who have been in the closets for 20, 30 years.
Sure.
And you need them out in order to get force, and you won't get them.
Okay, let's talk about organization. We're going to get real close to the end of that tape soon, I think. Yeah, we are really, we're almost at the end of it. Let's stop it here and go on to the next one.